It's good to see all of you. My name is Jaco Jansen van Rensburg, married to Lee. They're the back and our kiddies. They raised their hands for the first time visitors because they heard there's a lollipop. But it didn't come. So you owe them a lollipop. But it's good to be here. Actually, I've never been here in this building or here with you guys. Like you've heard, we've been part of Shofar Tigerberg for a long time, and then got involved in Shofar Delft for a year, and then I got involved with Shofar Century City and at Gardens. Actually moving the two congregations closer together, working more together, so there's a close link between the two with our morning services at Century City, Kiro Private School, and in the evening in the Presbyterian Church in Gardens. But it's good to be here. Good to see what God is doing. And He's placed you guys here with a purpose. And I know Reino, I'm very honored to know him. And Liana, and just for the work that God is doing in them. And I know you guys also sending teams are going all over. They're excited about the work of God, and it's great to see. So we're all family. We're all partnering together and working together to do God's work. And obviously we're advancing the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of darkness must give way. So there's a little bit of a clash there in the middle. And that's where the action happens. But it's an honor to be there, to be part of what God is doing. So I want to talk to you a little bit about healthy families or godly families. There's a slideshow that you can follow some of the stuff. But my prayer is really that you'll just open your heart for, I trust God that you'll just receive something tonight. Something will speak to you. Even if you're single, if you, whoever, whatever your circumstances. Because God is the Almighty God. And the Word is alive. So that something will stir in your heart. That something will just move through some sort of conviction. I'm so aware that we're serving an almighty living God. That's why it's an honor to be here, honor to be part of what God is doing. And so we can stand here and I can come to you guys and share something. And the other day in the morning, I shared a message and this one lady, she started crying and I thought, what is going on? And I went to her afterwards and she actually came in and she said, "I'm so sorry for bursting out in tears, and because I've said this and this and this, and this is exactly what's happening in her life." And I said, "I never actually said those things. I don't know where you heard that." And then I realized that God is just speaking to each one of us. So that's why I just wanted you to open your hearts. Obviously, I've got my three children and family. Something that I really believe in, that we've got that Evergreen, the Everything Parenting course, but it's also just about building godly principles into our families. And that's what I just want to discuss a little bit, things that we must stand up for. Because it's going to be difficult and more difficult just to stand up for the things that we believe in, to stand up for what we're fighting for, what we're going for. And it's just amazing also to see my children. This morning they were busy at home. They get pocket money, and we help them to understand there's God money, there's spending money, there's savings money. So God money they can bring to church. So now Gustav and Samuel, they're busy the whole morning. They want to take some of their spending money and add it to their God money. And they're planning how much must they now add to their God money that they can bring it to church. And it's a whole thing. And the other day in the car, then Samuel said, "Actually, the God money doesn't really go to God." And Samuel said, "No, man, it's not going to heaven. The people just put it in the bags." And they're just going on, and we're just enjoying them, trying to tell them, "Yeah, it's not going to heaven. It's going to the church," and this discussions. But that's so beautiful, the children, how they work these things out. And how we see how God is working in their hearts. But that's something, that's all things that we must fight for that godliness, for teaching them, for plowing into their lives. And the world is just telling us everything is just about ourselves. It's performance driven. The world wants us to look at yourself, look at your work, look at everything must go right for you. And we must actually be, instead of performance driven, worship driven. Instead of performance driven and everything going around us and our own things, worship driven, everything thinking about God, focusing up God, focusing on what God wants for our lives. But that's a mindset. That's something that obviously we must fight for. We must make that happen. That's the challenge. And there's such a, I just realized there's such a huge attack on families with everyone want to come with their culture and they want to say this is how it works. In Delft, I had it quite often where someone will say this is why they do something because it's in our culture. And we have it in all the cultures. We all got our own things. Sometimes it's just like we've got the super sport and the TV and that is some things that takes up our time. It's some things that consume us. I call it this, there's so many distractions. Other times it's things in our culture saying us, this is how you work, this is how you do family. But the trick is to get to what does the Bible say? What is God is telling us? So I'm so encouraged by Bible school and Mother of Bible School being here tonight. So that's where you learn what the Word of God is saying. I joined the church, I joined Shofar actually because of Bible school. Just asking my friends, what about this? I had all these questions and every time they tell me, they gave me answers. And every time when I asked them, where do you get this? They say, I got it from Bible school. So eventually after a year, I said, I must get to this Bible school. Because that's everybody refers me to Bible school. So I joined Bible school before I joined Shofar. Been a year in Bible school many years ago. And then I realized, okay, all this stuff that I believed in my life is actually not right. It's not nice when you've been doing something for quite a long time to realize that you're actually wrong. And I still get it every day. Some people, they just don't like to be wrong. It's really, if we can open our hearts and be teachable and allow God to anytime speak to us, and we change, that we can change according to that revelation. For me, it's such a beautiful thing when I see that in somebody's life. Where they're not holding on to this, I've been doing it for so long and it's been working so well. Just to be open to what God is doing. But in any case, the beautiful thing about family, getting back to family, is just there's a common ground. We're placed in a family, everybody come from a mother and a father, and there's family, there's a common thing. We soon realize coming into the church tonight, the common ground is Jesus. That's our common ground. And we're actually family. You don't know me, I don't know you guys, but we are family, just based on that, based on God, that's Jesus, that's been working in our lives, and he's the common ground. And in our house, there's certain things that's accepted. I know that I'm accepted in my family. Obviously, in my house, we have fights. Yes, I do fight with my wife. It happens. But we are accepted in that house. Gustav, Samuel, Lucy, even though they have things that they work through, they're born in sin. You think that they're born, they're this beautiful baby, and then one day the revelation is coming through. That they're actually sinners, but they accept it. They accept it in the house. And there's everybody is worth something. Everybody comes with their own gift, their own just something beautiful that God has placed inside of them. And that's what makes me excited about church and us coming together as a family, because we all come with a gift, we're all worth something. There's no witbroekies. Sometimes we think that some people are more important than others, but in God's eyes, we are all equal. And I really want to encourage you to see yourself like that, to see yourself that gift that you bring. And I just feel that this is a word for someone, that there's a gift inside of you, and when you stay away from small group, when you don't come to church, other people actually miss out on your gift, what you want to bring, that God wants to work through your life. Because often we think about, it's not nice for me, or I don't want to go, but other people is actually missing out on that gift, that thing that you bring. So yeah, you guys are, it's just amazing to come together in a family. And even in my parents' house, I know I can walk in there, I can open the fridge, I can take whatever I want. It's changing a little bit these days. But there's a freedom in the house. And even in the house of God, there's a freedom. There's a freedom of being accepted. Of being, we can be who God created us to be. And the Bible really calls Christians the household of God. It's a household of God. It's family. And there's room for each one. And there's a place for each one where you can be yourself. And that's what I also trust for wherever you go, when you slot into your church, that's where the protection is. That's how God created. We'll just talk just now about family. But even if your family structure is not working so well with the parents and we come out of broken homes, and I'll touch on that a little bit later, even in all of that, God can still make a way. He's still a God of the second chance. He's still the one that Revelation talk about. He's the one that wipe away the tears of their eyes. And that's the beauty of coming into the house of God, where there's a family, there's a new family in the household of God. There's a family of hope, there's protection. There's a safe place. And this is what home is. This is what house is. And in the same way, in Cape Town, we're praying a lot about taking the city. We're speaking a lot about what we as a church can do to be effective. And so often it comes back to family, to the family structure, to the homes, to how we brought up our children. It all comes back to that all the time. And I just want to read you guys a quote, Barry Brazelton. He said, "I was on the National Commission for Children and Families, and we went around the country looking at what was happening to families and children. And we found that we are the least child and family-oriented society in the civilized world. And we also saw the price that we're paying. Angry, contained, unavailable children who can't learn." So we all want the society to work. We all want a lot of good things. And we're fighting for it. And sometimes we forget that God actually put the family there. That was the place where God intended that safety, the protection, the acceptance, the identity to be formed. It's actually happening in the family. So I'm here to share a little bit about family, but what we want is we want a godly society. We want to change the world. We want to change people's lives. And because we live in a broken world, there's so much destruction, there's so many things that goes wrong, but God is not confused. That's why I'm so glad to serve Almighty Living God. And we see testimonies all the time. We were visiting a friend of mine in Swellendam, Tacy. I phoned Tacy when my first time the girl dropped me. I thought it's from the Lord that we're going to get married. She said no. She heard different. I said, okay, God is not confused. I heard this from God. She heard something else from God. So someone is wrong. So I accepted that I'm wrong. I stood back, went to my room. I phoned Tacy. I said, "Tacy, we've got to pray. It's the end." I was crying and crying and crying. Anyway, that is family to me. When there's someone that you can phone, they can pray, they can stand with you through difficult times. You need those people. So when I saw Tacy, he said, "Yaku, you've got the shoulder. You heard it in the box. They're doing CrossFit type stuff." I heard the other day that the physios are quite happy that CrossFit is taking off. But in any case, and he said, I said, "Let's pray," and we prayed and we trust God. And then I got the report later, 2 weeks later, that his shoulder is all fine again. And his only option was to get some injections or then operation. So we prayed, stood together in faith and agreed, and praise God, his shoulder is ready and he's back in the, it's called the box. So that is amazing. That is why we can have church. And I just put it in here, because obviously we live in a broken world, and I know some of us, we get distracted when we talk about families. You think about, yes, but I come from this background. This happened in my life. This is the things that I faced every day. And I'm aware of those things. But there's hope for that. And we must fight for what we believe. And just Genesis 2 verse 24. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." That's where they create home. That's where it starts. From the marriage. So when we get married, I'm so aware of all the fiery darts of the enemy against marriage, against godly relationships. Because if we can break down the homes, we break down society. And you guys that's married will know that the good fights are in your house. So the battle is there. I don't fight all the time. I don't want to say that. Okay, just to clarify. Okay. So that's where the protection is, the companionship. That's where we make covenant with God. So God is with you all the time. We've got the presence of God in our house. And we can know that God is committed to our house, to our family. Sometimes I forget that. Things are just difficult with the kiddies and everything. And then sometimes I forget that I think that I must fight this battle just in the flesh. But it's something that we must fight for, because that is the safe place. And I will show some stats just now. Where so many things flow out of family. That's where there's so many counseling that we do. When we trace it back, it goes back to broken families. People that didn't do what they're supposed to do. And then obviously from the marriage, I just want to read Hebrews 13 verse 4. "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." This is the thing, that marriage be held in honor. It's something very precious that we must fight for. Something amazing that we must fight for. And I tell the guys, that we as men must be a one-woman man. It's one woman for you that you must make a decision, you must make up your mind. And that's the one that you go for, and the one that you bless, and you fight for, and you live for. And that's a challenge. The world, everything, there's so many distractions coming from all over. Like Bernie that's in the office with me, he said you can't even... You just want to go to a movie, then you see all this stuff. You just want to buy an ice cream, then it's a lot of magazines there at the till. You just, wherever you want to go, you just want to do a normal, basic thing. It's everywhere. The distractions, the temptations, the things are everywhere. But that's just one of the things we must fight to be, that a one-woman man. We must stand up for that, for what we believe. And it's difficult. But when we struggle, you must phone your Tacy. You need a Tacy in your life. You need to have your friend, your family from church to stand with you. Because it gets tough out there. And just to everybody that's in accountability, friendships, and whatever, it's not sin management. We talk straight, and we call each other to a higher call. You see the potential in someone, then you need to tell them, "Listen, what you're doing You're just floating around. You can do much better than this. And I want to see that you do this and this and this. That's accountability. The sin management is just a part of it. But you call each other to that higher thing, to that potential that you see. And you say, are you doing this? Are you doing? You can do much better than this. We help one another. Because else you just find someone that also struggles with the same thing and you feel very sorry for each other and it's all very nice. I just want to read for us Psalm 128. Everybody still okay? So I was jumping around a little bit, but I think the common thread is still there. The family. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. It's just such a beautiful picture of the man that fears the Lord, the blessing is the fruit of his hands. You see the family, you see his wife is like a fruitful vine, his children like olive shoots. But all those things, it also talks about work. The vineyard, the olive trees, you can't just leave it. You can't just leave it to grow. You must still attend to it. You must still work at it. You must still look at it. You must look after it. And the amazing thing for me is, because obviously if we want our families to work, it will need that we will have to die to some of our own desires. It's my die to self. Like Lee will tell you, family, when the children come, that's the first thing that you learn is dying to yourself, your own needs, your own things that you want to do. Time is a bit different. Before 7 and after 10 at night, you can really do whatever you want to. But in between, there might be some demands on your life. So enjoy your time. But it's such a beautiful thing because it's not that it bothers you anymore because your priorities change. And you just realize it's not about yourself anymore. For me, it's just like God is just helping you on each one, helping me to know that it's not about myself. Life is not about me. There's other people. And whenever I reach out to my family, it's really because I love them. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So basically, it's just speaking here about unless the Lord built the house, and then unless the Lord watches over the city. It again speaks to me about the home, the household, the family. God must be involved. We must make God part of our houses, about our families. And if you sing about just involved with our relationships, we need to know the will of God. We need to know God's standard for our lives. That's the only way that we can be prosperous. And I just lately at Century City, obviously, I'm one of the leaders there, so we pray a lot about strategy and how to do certain things. And I just realized once you get, because many are the plans in a man's heart. Some people call me Mr. Loophole. I didn't call that myself. I just see opportunity. When there's a gap in the, I see the gap, good or bad. Sometimes I'm just glad I'm saved because everything is not so right. But then I don't do it. But basically, you've got a lot of plans. You just see a lot of opportunities, a lot of things. And then I realize I can make my plans. I can make my plans for my family. I can do all these things. But I need to know God's strategy, how this is going to work. I need to know God's strategy for my relationship. Because sometimes there's something wrong and you can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. And I can try all kinds of things, or I can pray and ask God. And He tells me. And I've seen it while I was working as a programmer. I will struggle for 3 days with a software, and then I pray. It's a bit of a wrong way around, but in any case. And then I saw the semicolon that was missing. And everything works. So it teaches you a lot of patience. But that was for me such a beautiful example. Oh, I struggled with a software for many days. And I couldn't get it right. And every time I do something, I test something else not working. And then I prayed about this thing. And I got one line of code. I didn't really understand the code. I put it in and everything worked. And everything that my boss asked, he tested different things. I said, I don't know if it's going to work. Let's try. And then it works. And I said, what about this? I said, I don't know. Let's try. And it works. And that's how I see God's hand. When God is there and He's involved in whatever you do, and you've got God's strategy, and things work. There's two guys that they were coming to church, but they will help set up everything and then they hang outside. So I want them in church. It's very nice that they help and they set up everything, but I want them to be in church, not to be wherever. So I just tell it to you guys, then tell it to everyone. But what happened is I was praying about it. And I said, Lord, I don't know, must I speak to their parents? What must we do? Because they're not in church. And I just got this idea, make them part of the sound team. Then they sit there all the time. So I just went to them and I said, don't you guys want to be part of the sound team? It is just going to be amazing. It can work with the projector. There's lots of buttons, everything. And they got involved. And for me, it was just a personal thing. I just say, thank you, Lord. Because they agreed that they will do it. And now they're in church. They're sitting through every service. And I didn't have to ask them to be in church. Obviously, I trust God that their hearts will change. That's what I do. And I pray for that. But at least they're in the service now. And that is just an example where God gave a strategy. Because sometimes things in our relationships, at home, everything, we know the right thing. It's just not working. We got to pray and get that strategy from God. And then things will just start working out. Then things will fall in place. So we need it. We need our word. We need the word for what we live for. We need to know, God, this is what I trust you for. And then we go for this thing. And then we press through. And I just put two examples on there. Psalm 86 verse 5. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Or Psalm 145. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on His name. And this is just two scriptures of examples that we can put up. Say, Lord, this, you say, you gave us these promises. We're calling out to you, Lord. You need to come through for us. And I know there's some of us, we really got desperate situations, things that's going on in our lives, things that we trust God for. We're praying for a family where Lee's mother got baptized last Sunday. That was an amazing testimony. So that's something that we celebrated. That's something that we prayed for a very long time. And other people as well. We're years of praying for them, then they come and say, I finally gave my heart to the Lord. That's what we're going for. That is changing families. That's changing society, little by little. Proverbs 14 verse 11 said, the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. You put it up and you remind yourself of this word, and you go for it. Say, Lord, I want to see my tent flourish. I want to see my house flourish. I want to see things going to work out. I need to fight for this. And focus on the family. I think you guys know about the focus on the family society. They've got a few things that they fight for. They invest in families. They said, do you know that more and more young people say that having a happy marriage and family is their most important goal, more than wealth or a good job? So everybody realized that this is what they need to be happy or whatever. So focus on the family. They invest in families. Then they go to the marriages, because that's the foundation of family. They see whatever they can do to invest in the marriage. And from there, it's engaging the culture. Because family is also the foundation of a healthy society. When family is not working, we see everything else falling apart. Actually, I just want to read you. There was a study on healthy families from Glenn Stanton. And she said, government is far from the most effective agent in producing social welfare. Healthy families best serve this role. And that's from a lot of research that she did, and that was the conclusion. That healthy families are the best social agent in our time. And they went from there and lots of other research, and they just realized that strong families are the best to prevent poverty, persistent poverty, domestic, sexual and physical violence, educational failure, crime in communities. Many years ago, from the one study, they said parental unemployment, one of the parents unemployed or both unemployed, used to be the primary indicator of childhood poverty. But in the last few decades, childhood poverty has a closer correlation with family structure. So they're looking now at the family structures, what's happening, and from there they make their predictions. And Professor Bill Galston, he was a domestic policy advisor for President Bill Clinton. He did his research and he also said that never living in poverty in the U.S., living in poverty, I'm not sure what they classified as that. Let me just make that clear. But he said, requires just three things not to live in poverty. And those three things are: you must finish high school, marry before you have children, and marry after the age of 20. That's after they did their research and they came up with those things. They are key indicators. And 8% of people and their children who do these are, 79% of those who fail to do these are living in poverty. This is just from their stats that they pull. And then they went on and they said it's no exaggeration to say that a stable two-parent family is an American child's best protection against poverty. From all their research and everything. So we can say it's all in the Bible. That's what the Word of God is telling us. And they said the relationship, it all comes down to the relationship between two parents, how it matters. Barack Obama said once in 2007, he said, we have too many children in poverty and everybody should be ashamed, but don't tell me it doesn't have a little to do with the fact that we got too many daddies not acting like daddies. Too many men not acting like they're supposed to. And then also against violence, they just pulled all the stats and they say when there's a healthy family, the violence are less. Okay, it sounds like obvious. But they looked at how relationships are, people just staying together, are they married, not married, when did they get divorced, all those things. And then they look at the violence, domestic violence, violence in the community and everything. And then they went on and they say the family structure was the leading contributor to academic achievement by school children was family structure. More than all the other stuff. And then they went to crime in the community, did more research in Stanford. The most powerful indicators of crime rates percentage of the population divorced, percentages of households headed by women, where there's no men, and the percentage of single males of any age in the community. That was just some of the indicators. And from there they will go and they will work out the crime rates. And they even some of the stats you will see that they also determine from the broken homes and what's happened with the families. They even determine how many jails they must build and all those things. They pull the stats straight through. So families are very important. And that's just the stuff that I just want to put out for us. Because the justice that we want in society and we want people to be looked after, it's all Christian values. It's all things that God is talking about in the Bible. And God gave us the family and He gave us the healthy families. But broken families are all around us. And I don't want you to feel that if there's a broken family or you come from a broken family or if you've experienced something like that, that all is lost. Because it's not true. There's so many examples of broken families in the Bible, especially the Old Testament. It's amazing. It doesn't really, well, it says a lot about broken families. We're going to see Esau and Jacob and Laban and this one sleeping with that one and David standing and they see that woman, he sleeps with her and it just goes on and on and on. And Joseph's brothers that sold him as a slave, that's this, we can say probably it's a bit messed up. All this is stuff happening. But God came and He turned the situations around. One by one by one by one. He turned them around. And that's the stuff we read in the Word. We don't read that everything is perfect and everything is nice. And we don't read that. We see the stuff that's happening. We see everything. Just this morning, we just heard again of Samson. How he had a calling, what he was going for. And then he got a bit distracted. Also slept around a bit and in the end he commits suicide to kill a lot of people. But that was not really how everything was supposed to be. But we can trust God to turn the situations around. So that's what I want to tell each of you. Doesn't matter where you come from, the circumstances, what you're up to. We're standing here tonight and we stand together. Right now you're in God's family. And God came to die for us, to give us life and life in abundance, to give us hope. He's a God of hope. So, and God was very, He knows that we are sinners. He knows our sinful behavior, our sinful nature. It's all around us. And obviously, if we put together in one home, and you're born into a house, you can't run away or, well, you can run away, but you're not supposed to. So, you are the ones that's in that house, all different, all going for their own things, all want their own stuff, especially the two-year-old, want your own thing. You nag. There's a bit of chaos right there in that home. But God is not confused. He steps into that situation and He brings order. He brings a strategy. He brings the order that we require. He's the God of hope. And I'm just so confident that to know that God is the one that instituted family. He started it. He told us that about marriage. It's in the Word. Family. It's all God that initiated these things. That is His plan for justice. We know that God wants us to have for justice and to love, kindness and those things. So even in the chaos, we know God is committed. We know that Jesus died for us and He make a way that we can become part of the household of faith. We can become a Christian. But also that there's hope for our broken situation. Whatever it is. And I don't want to to say a lot of stuff here, but I just want to feel that I must emphasize it. that you must trust God for your situation. And sometimes it is just too tough to stand on your own. Then you pull guys, you pull people around you and you pray together. And you walk through that thing. Because we're not alone. God is committed to our lives. And sometimes we've messed up. We see lots of examples of people that messed up in the Bible. But then also our God came and He turned the situation around. I believe that in a moment, things can change. In a moment. I remember when I was a student and studied, and student loan was hovering here over my head. And one day walking into my home, into my flat, and a note in the Bible with a check for my full student loan. So I went to APSA and said, yeah, ta-da. And they said, no, you must invest and everything. And I just knew this is God coming through for me. I didn't ask for it. I don't think I prayed about it even. But God came and He turned it around. And I was able to be an intern. I was able to do internship at Shofar without getting any salary after my studies. Because my student loan was paid. My parents didn't have the money. But God came in a moment and He turned that situation around. Just boom. Same when I bumped my car. Different story. I drove into a braai in the Cederberg. It's a long story. But anyway, it smashed the whole back here, all the way to the back. Because the car was stuck and I had to get out of there. So I just drove through in the braai. It's like a brick thing. So it broke off and everything. So one day I was sitting at the robot and I said, God, I think somebody must just hit me from the back and then the insurance just fix everything. Because I don't have the money for this. So now I've been driving around with this mark on the car for quite a long time. So I don't have the money to fix it. And I've never been in an accident. But a week later... And another robot. I'm sitting there. Wow, this girl. She drove into the back of my car. I think, man, maybe this is it. So I got out and she got out and she said, hey, Yaku, we've studied together. I said, so good to see you, man. And long story short, they got the claims from the insurance. Luckily, she worked for a very big company, excellent insurance. So they got all these big claims. They want to replace everything of everything, just the back now. And I said, then they said, you get an option. They can pay the cash into your account. So I said, yes, let's go for that one. So then I got the cash after about 2 months of admin. It was just a long time. And then I went to another guy. I said, man, can't you fix this here at the back? Cash. I pay cash. And the quote for the insurance was 18,000. I think they paid 16,000 out at the end. He said, they'll fix it for 3,200. So I was standing there straight. I said, you can do it. And he said, what about the rest? What about this all the way where I eat the braai? He said, all in all, 6,200 rand. I said, just do it, man. And I even had 10,000 rand change. That's God. Well, that was just a thought. But for me, that was just God hearing me. And I said, man, praise the Lord. Everything fixed. I even have money left. And that was just a thought. I'm not saying it's going to happen to you. You will have your own story. You will have your own thing that you know God heard your prayer or God heard your thought because He's committed to your life. And that's the God we serve. That's why I'm fighting for families and for my family. And we must fight for these things, but we're not alone. God is with us. And He can change your situation in a moment, in a crash. Everything can change. So just from these stories, and that's why now I can stand here and share these things. This is just some examples of my life, but you will have your own stories. You must hold on to those testimonies. Because in difficult times, you must hold on. When you're there at home with your wife and the kiddies and things are difficult, then it's time to remind yourself of God's faithfulness. That He's the Almighty God. John Piper got this thing, Christian, term, Christian hedonism. But it's just basically, he said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And all our desires, all that we want, first is our relationship with God. And I just want to put it out to you, because that's often we want, there's so many things that we want in life, but the giver of all good things is God. And all the distraction, there's so many things, and the world is telling us so many things, but we must put God in front of us. And we must put God's standard. And that's what we live for. That's the standard for our families. And the devil is coming against us. That is just how it is. Often things will go wrong. But that's just the verse that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but the principalities and powers of this world. So we are aware of the battle that we fight. We're aware of the enemy. And that's what we come against. But we're living by faith. And just a few things, just quickly. I'm just going to put it out there, just for a godly family. A home that works. Some pointers, just to allow the Word of God to dictate your life. Sometimes that's why my biggest problem with some of the guys telling me, everybody is doing it. I said, no, man. Don't talk nonsense. The Word of God is the standard. That's the standard. And it's not easy, but we must allow the Word of God to dictate our lives, how we live. And I'm challenged with that. I'm very much challenged. Many areas of my life. I'm just a normal guy. We're challenged. And just to show the world how to love. First it starts in our families. The ones that we Easter, sleep Easter, and we work it out. But we show the world love. We love those around us. And by love also means that we speak truth to one another. My life changed when a friend tell me, Yaku, you're just talking about yourself. What's going on? I say, hey, no, I'm actually doing it. I'm sorry. Nobody told me before. Changed my life. There's things that we're friends of people and we just allow certain things in their lives. But we're seeing it. You say, hey, that's not a good thing. We must better tell them if we love them. So just love one another. Love your neighbor and people and prayer. We know the power of prayer. My prayer has changed. Yeah. Just in the week again, a guy was just telling again how his church grew. And then he went to another church. And through all his years of church planting and everything, he just said, the key is prayer. There's nothing else. That's the key. And this worship, every time I share this, I think that we must bring back worship. We don't worship as a family at the moment. We used to do it. But this way, we just put on the music and you just worship. And you just set a time to do that. And the children can dance and they can just see that it's just great to worship God. It's something that we must do. And the meditation, for me, that's something that works to hear God's voice is when I'm alone in the mountain. Or just alone, or just walking the street, or on my bike. with my helmet, I can shout and do whatever. It's pretty enclosed, safe space of lots of noise. But that's just a place where I hear God's voice. You must find your place, because there will be a unique way that God speaks to you. But it's important that we have these disciplines and things in our house, part of our life, part of our family. Because this will help us to know God's will. This will help us to do things right. And then just, there's something about forgiveness. Because in family, whenever we with people that we love, and they're also the people that hurt us. When we allow people to come close to us, obviously you become vulnerable, and they're people that can really hurt you. But the problem is we close our hearts. We hear it in many teachings. But that's why I just always try to remind myself that the moment I close my heart to receive, when you get hurt, you close your heart for people or for influences, for love. You're also, in a sense, closing your heart to the love of God. It's not just to close your heart to that nobody else can touch you or harm you, and then think everything is just going to work fine. We need to go and forgive. We need to say sorry, or when you think there's an offense, we must sort out those things. Because it's really stuff that holds us back from just creating a godly house, family, friendship, relationships. Because it's really, we must move beyond these things. These are just tools in the enemy's hand that he wants to use to want to bring destruction. That he wants to use here to pull all the beautiful people of God aside, and it's distractions and it's wasting our time, where there's a world that's lost. And there's a world of people that we need to reach. So, lastly, I just want to end with two verses. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Just that thing, the God of hope. The God of hope. There's hope for every situation. There's hope for everything. There's hope for our homes. And Mark 10 verse 27 or 26 and 27, they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man it's impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. And some of us, our situations are desperate, difficult, there's chaos. But God is the one, He wants to bring order into your home, into your house. And for us, obviously when we married, that's where we must work at that thing. We made a covenant before God. God is with you. He's in that thing. He's in this. This is an institution of God. We need to fight for that home. From there's so many things in society that just feeds off a healthy family. It feeds off families. And also for whatever your relationships you're in, or maybe family relationships, really want to encourage you guys, people that you pray for, trust to get saved. We serve an almighty God, a God of hope, a God for whom nothing is impossible. And that's what we must go for. It's not going to get easy, but He's an almighty living God. Tonight you can stand. The band can come forward. I just want you just to put your situation, your thing that you trust God. I spoke about family, but I just sense that it is more that each one of you, you've got something that you trust God for. You've got a place where you need a breakthrough. Just bring that before God. Maybe it's a relationship, a family. Maybe it's someone that don't know the Lord. But for some people, the thing is so, it feels so impossible been praying for so long. And I just want to encourage you tonight, just to bring that again in front of God. Even though you feel that, Lord, I've done it so many times, I've prayed over these things, give it to God tonight. And also, if you want to say, Lord, I want to do this right. I want to have that godly family. And just speak to God. Say, Lord, I've got a heart for people and all of that, but I understand that family is that foundation. Family is through which you work, that you bring justice into this world. So, Lord, I'm standing for that. I'm standing for a godly family. I take a stand tonight. I'm just going to, as we do a song, if you want to, maybe you're here tonight and you say, Jacob, but I don't even have that relationship with God. I'm not sure where you come from. Or maybe you have that, but you want your own stories. You say, I don't have those stories. I don't have those breakthroughs. And I would like to pray with you. I want to invite you, come forward, and we can pray together, and we stand in faith. We trust God for your own miracles, for your own firsthand revelations, experience of God's breakthroughs. And as we worship, I just also, if you want to come and just pray with someone for that situation, the desperate situation, I want to invite you. Let us pray together. Let us just again agree over those things. Amen. Let's worship.